Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Matthew chapter 3. You know, I'm always looking for local hiking trails on which I can take our dog Max for a walk. And I found one about 2 months ago, just down the road here across Route 31. A great little trail. You know, I've lived here for 30 years, passed it a thousand times, never even knew it was there. But about 2 months ago, Cheryl and I took Max for a walk. And like I said, it's a great little trail. It goes up through the woods and along the brook. And, you know, we're hiking along, and all of a sudden we get to the place where the trail is going to cross the brook. And so we do so and get on the other side, and the trail disappears. I can't find it anywhere. And I'm looking, and nothing. So I just picked away. You know, I knew where the trail was eventually going, so I just picked a way that I thought would be the trail. Well, it turns out it was some kind of old riverbed that fed down into the brook. And I found myself, at least as I look back at it now, thinking about those words from Isaiah, make the path straight, fill in the valleys, lower the hills, make the rugged places level. Well, on the way back, I found the right trail. It was much better marked on the way back. And what had happened was there was an embankment there, which you didn't think was the trail, but it was. There were some stone steps, but it had been covered over by all of the leaves that had fallen, so you couldn't even see it. And so it was there. But at least at one point during that hike, there was another voice that was crying out in the wilderness, make the paths straight. As we come to this second Sunday in Advent, we hear the original voice crying out, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. John's purpose was to get the people ready for the coming of Christ. But it was as if the path on which God was to return to his people had fallen into disuse and disrepair. And it was almost impassable. And so John, his job was to say to the people, let's get ready. Let's prepare the way of the Lord. And so it is on each Sunday in Advent, the second Sunday in Advent, that we hear the voice of John the Baptist calling to us. Calling to us as well to prepare the way of the Lord. It's important for us to remember as we begin the church year that the way to receive God as he comes to us, the way to prepare is through repentance and baptism. Why prepare? Well, because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what John says. You know, and this was just really big news at that time. Because remember, the last prophet of God before John was Malachi 400 years earlier. There had been 400 years of silence. No prophet of God speaking. No new word of God being spoken. And so when Matthew tells us that the people were coming out from Jerusalem, from all Judea, and from all the region around. That's significant. It's probably a little bit of hyperbole going on there, but nonetheless, it indicates to us that the people at that time recognized that John was a prophet of God. That this, after 400 years of silence, was a word of God to them. And so they took heed. They listened to his word. They went out, they confessed their sins, and they were baptized. It's still pretty big news for us as well that the kingdom of God is at hand. I mean, think about that for a moment. What does it mean that the kingdom of God is at hand? That it's here and it's in our midst, that God has come to us, that there is opportunity for us to engage with God. It's huge. And so we do want to prepare. We do want to get ready. It's a little bit different now, no doubt. You know, we are New Testament. That was still Old Testament, technically. You know, John was really the last prophet of the Old Testament. Christ has not died and risen and ascended, so it's still Old Testament for these people. They are preparing for the coming of the kingdom. For us, we're looking back at it. The kingdom has come. It is here in our midst. And nonetheless, the news, the big news, that the kingdom of God is at hand is significant, a significant reason for us to prepare. And how? How do we prepare? One word, repentance. But the big answer is, what does repentance mean? Repentance begins with contrition. And that's what John was doing. He was calling the people to confess their sins, to contrition. He didn't sugarcoat the message at all. He was brutally honest. You need to confess. And to those Pharisees and Sadducees that come, he said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath that is coming? Produce fruit in keeping with righteousness." Like Lent, Advent is a penitential season. I know it has shifted a little bit. You know, many of you remember how the paraments in olden days used to be purple, the same as in Lent, signifying that it is indeed a season of penitence for us. Now it's switched to blue with the symbol of hope. And I think that's a good switch, because I think it does reflect the overall tenor of the season. And it helps us to think about things, the coming of Christ, with hope. And yet, that does not preclude this from being a season of penitence, and especially on this second Sunday of Advent. As we hear the voice of John the Baptist, we are reminded that the key to receiving God and his kingdom, to being in relationship with God, is indeed true repentance. And so this is a time to stop kidding ourselves about how good and holy we have become. It's a time for us to get serious and to look at our lives as we confessed in our sins, to recognize, yes, that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We need to look at the things that we have done and left undone, which is oftentimes much harder to do, because it even escapes our thoughts until we think intentionally about it. What have we left undone? That we sin not just in what we do, but also in words, and yes, even in our thoughts, in our hearts. Good for you for holding your tongue, for being disciplined so often, and not saying everything that you think or that you feel. But it's still sin. Even those thoughts that are not expressed, not acted upon, can be sin. The season of Advent, particularly the second Sunday in Advent, calls us to get serious with our sins. And one of the hardest things to do sometimes is to say that we are wrong, that we're sorry. Sometimes we'd rather yell and scream, or we'd rather argue, or deflect, or deny. You know, there's all kinds of ways that we can kind of get around confessing our sins, being truly contrite for that which we have done. But this is where repentance starts. It starts with being honest with ourselves, recognizing our sins, and confessing them to God. How do we prepare? With repentance that begins with contrition and that moves on then to receiving God's grace as it comes to us in baptism. Baptism was a huge part of John's ministry. And he called the people out to him. He says, confess your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And notice the way that it's talked about, that John's baptism too was a means of grace. It was the very means by which God was giving his grace to his people, that they might receive this forgiveness of sins. Unlike the ritual washings of the day, which are the predecessors of baptism, John's baptism was a one-time event. It wasn't meant to be repeated. Come out, you confess your sins, you receive that forgiveness through baptism in preparation for the coming of Christ. For us, as we think about baptism in our day, it's similar and yet different at the same time. First, it's different because our baptism is not a preparation for. You know, the kingdom had not come. It was on its way. It was at hand. And they were preparing for this to come to them. For us, the kingdom is here. And so our baptism then is a different kind of baptism. It's not John's baptism. But it's a Trinitarian baptism. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is a baptism into Christ where we are connected to him, not just in preparation for him to come to us, but it actually connects us to him. It is similar in the sense that it is a means of grace. And that's what we understand about baptism, that this is the way that God gives to you the forgiveness of your sins, no matter what that may be. God's forgiveness comes to you and it's offered in baptism as you are connected with Christ, not just to get ready, but to receive him. A big part then of our understanding of baptism is that we are not rebaptized, so that every time you sin, every time that you come to church and confess a sin, you don't get rebaptized. We don't do that. And part of that is the understanding of what baptism is. And this is really important for us, that baptism is not our response to God, something that we're giving to God, but it's what he has given to us. And so you see, if you have somehow left God, if you have neglected him, if you have been living in your sin, you don't need to be rebaptized when you confess. Because God has never gone anywhere. His promise is there for you. So baptism is not something that you do in order to get that forgiveness, but it's something that God has done for you. And all you need to do is simply remember that promise of God and take hold of it in faith. And you see, that's exactly what we do as we begin our services. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, the words that were spoken over us in baptism, to signify and say, we come here today as God's baptized children. And then in the confession of our sins, we hear that absolution once again, in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. There is a sense in which the absolution is a remembrance and even a reenactment of our baptism. So we're saying, yes, in faith we want to receive that which God has done for us and given to us in holy baptism. How do we prepare? First, with contrition, sorrow for our sins. Second, in faith, as we remember our baptism and live in our baptism. And third, by bearing fruit. This is what John says too, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So in verse 10, John says, the axe is even now laid to the root of the trees. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. You understand, what's the purpose of the fruit of trees? It's to bear fruit. And a tree that does not bear fruit is not fulfilling its purpose. And it's good for being cut down and thrown into the fire. and another tree replace it that will bear the fruit. God calls us to bear fruit, the fruit of repentance. And you see, this is often where we can locate our problem. Our repentance is too short. It's truncated. You think that the whole process, everything that it is contrition, faith, bearing fruit. And sometimes we truncate it with just the first two parts. That we confess our sins, we remember our baptism, we receive the forgiveness, and then that's it. And then we just go back and we do what we've done before. But God says, no, bear the fruit of repentance. That's part of the process. It's the natural thing that happens from a good tree. And so we read what Jesus says. Because it's not just John who says this. Jesus himself says this in Matthew chapter 7. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruit. And the Apostle Paul, too, in Galatians chapter 5, says the same thing. He says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And he goes on to list all of those desires of the flesh. He says, but then he continues, but walk by the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that we rightly see coming forth from our lives. We want to stop and we want to ask ourselves, this is the way that we gauge. Are we engaged in true repentance? True contrition for our sins? Do we truly receive in faith this forgiveness that God has given to us in Jesus Christ as it comes to us in baptism? And are we producing the fruit of the Spirit? As we begin the church year, we are reminded once again the way that our salvation comes to us. It doesn't start with us. It starts with God. It starts with God's promises way back in the Old Testament. It moves through the coming of Christ, his death, his resurrection, his ascension for us. Salvation starts with God coming to us. And of course, then there's an appropriate response to that. Last week, we set out one of the great themes, too, of what's the response to God coming to us. It's stewardship, living in faithful stewardship towards God. Today, on the second Sunday of Advent, we hear another one of those foundational themes, and that is the key to receiving God as he comes to us is repentance, contrition, faith, and the bearing of fruit in Jesus' name. Amen.